Thank you for standing. The book of 3 John is a very interesting little book in the Bible. Its main focus is the focus of truth. You look in the book and over and over and over, you see truth in verse 1. And down in verse 3, you see it there twice. Truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. It was written by the Apostle John, roughly 90 A.D. He was one, along with Peter and James, of Jesus' inner circle, the Apostle John was. This little epistle is being written. John is far away from those people and far away from those days. He's the last of the original apostles. Of course, we know that Paul was martyred there in 67. And so he's the last one, the Apostle John. He is sometimes called the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved, a title that he used for himself in the Gospel of John, not to be proud and boastful, but he was the one that leaned upon Jesus' breast. However, he was also known as a firm preacher who did not put up with heresy, false doctrine, or division. And he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and by the way, the entire Bible is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. We have an inspired, preserved Bible. And here he's writing to a man named Gaius. Very little is known biblically about this man Gaius. There are some suppositions of history. Tell us he was a pastor of an assembly. He was a kind man who the Bible says had shown John some hospitality as he journeyed and preached. Some think he was a convert of John's, and he was a disciple of John's. But we learn a lot about his character here in the text. In verse 3, we learn that Gaius walked in truth. How important that is, and we're going to talk about that. Verse 5 tells us that he helped church members. And ladies and gentlemen, can I just say this as a sidebar in our introduction? We need each other. We need each other. When somebody comes and they need our help, maybe it's just some physical help. Hey, I need help moving, or I need help with this, or I need help with that. Hey, the people of God ought to be the first ones to help. Amen. So he helped church members. He helped strangers. Verse 5 tells us. This week we had a lady come to us, and she called and said, "Pastor, I'm out of diapers. Do you have any diapers? Is there any way you could help me with diapers?" And listen, ladies and gentlemen, we can't help everybody. I want to tell you, this lady took the time. She's been here the last two Sundays. Took the time to come to church. You know what we did, Brother Jones? I sent your wife out on an errand. I said, "Could you go pick her up some diapers?" Amen. I said, "How would you feel if your little boy didn't have diapers, or your little girl didn't have diapers?" You know what? We entertain strangers. We can't help everybody. We can help some. Amen. And so he helped strangers. Verse 6 tells us he was charitable. Can I just say this? Some people are easy to love, aren't they? I've said that to my wife ages. I said, "You know what, honey, you're easy to love. I'm the other way around. I can be a little hard to love sometimes." Gaius was one of these people that wherever he went and whatever he did, one thing was evident: that he loved God and that people benefited from his love for God. And you know what happens is, if you love people, you know what ends up coming back? Love. Amen? Love. You ever notice somebody, you say, "Boy, that guy loves people. That lady loves people right there." It's obvious. And Gaius was one of those ones. It was obvious that he had love in his life. A few things we see in our text in verse 4. We see a spiritual peak. Gaius here says, "I have no greater joy." He said it in essence, in our modern day vernacular, he said, hey, this is as good as it gets when my children walk in truth. Our pastor used to say ages ago, and Brother Boston, you've heard him say it. He said, "You know what I want from my children?" He said, "I want my children to love the things I love and hate the things I hate." You say, "Pastor, you hate things?" You bet your last nickel I hate things. I hate sin. And I want my kids to hate sin. Amen. I want my kids to love the things I love and hate the things I hate. We see a spiritual peak. This was a high point in John's ministry. I have no greater joy and hear that my children walk in truth. We not only see a spiritual peak, but we see a spiritual parent here. This is why I believe, and you can believe whatever you want, but I believe here that Gaius was to John like Timothy was to Paul. He looked at him as a son in the faith, and he said, not only was there a spiritual peak, I have no greater joy, but a spiritual parent to know that my children walk in truth. Hey, it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that not only our physical children walk in truth, but that our spiritual children, folks that God allows us to reach out to. And I've said this, you can win people that I can't win. It's true. You can win people and you can work with people that I can't. And here's the idea, ladies and gentlemen, if we all do that, if we all just kind of get somebody in our sights and get in their life and make a difference for Jesus Christ, oh, how God would bless. He said there's a spiritual peak there. I have no greater joy. There's a spiritual parent, my children. And then there's a spiritual plea, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, that spiritual plea. What is that spiritual plea? Walk in truth. Walk in truth. The Bible uses the metaphor of walking as a way of describing the way that we Christians are to live our lives. The first time that the word walked is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And the Bible tells us that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God. It's confirmed in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. At the end it says, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? He pleased God with his life. He pleased God with his walk with God. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:4 that we're to walk in newness of life. Hey, you know what that means? Hey, Christian, you know what? You got flesh on you. And the flesh wants to walk in the old ways. But you know what? Jesus gave us something new. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen? And praise God, we got that new nature. And he says, you know what? You ought to walk in the newness of life. You know, when you walk in the newness of life, and it's not part of the message tonight, but isn't everything wonderful the first time you see it? I think about that man in John chapter 9, Brother Horst, that he got healed of blindness. I imagine how wonderful the roses looked. I wonder how what that first sunset looked for him. I tell you, I remember what it was like to get saved and to have first things start happen from when I got saved. Amen. It was wonderful. It still is wonderful. Amen. We're to walk in the newness of life. I know Wyatt mentioned he's looking forward to his first day of vacation Bible school tomorrow. You know what? That's going to be a great day. It's going to be a memory. He'll never forget that. We're to walk in newness of life. Walk in the newness of life. Something else, Galatians 5:16 tells us, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why is it so many Christians go back to the flesh and they just keep responding to the flesh? Well, the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got to feed that Spirit. Stop feeding that flesh. And I don't mean eating. I mean with fleshly appetites, things that we used to partake of. We ought to walk in the Spirit. We ought to get in the Bible. Get in prayer. Get around other Christians that can help us. Walk in the Spirit. Something else, Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We ought to walk worthy of the name Christian. Little Christ. Amen? That's what Christian means. Little Christ or Christ ones. Hey, that's a wonderful name that you and I bear. Amen? We ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Down further in Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us to walk as children of light. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5 tells us to walk circumspectly or carefully. I heard an illustration one time, very, very powerful. This man who was a trainer of special forces talked about how they learned to walk in the jungle. It was very carefully. Because there was always minds. There was always people around. That just one little crack of a stick or branch moving that they would spot you. So he said they had to learn to walk circumspectly, carefully. May God help us, ladies and gentlemen, where we go to walk circumspectly. To know that not only is God watching us, but there are other people watching us. There are other people that rely on us to hold the banner of righteousness high. That we'd walk circumspectly. Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walk in Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 2:6, just a couple pages back, tells us to walk as Christ walked. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself so to walk even as He walked. Each one of these verses deserves a sermon of its own. But I'd like to, if we could, focus on the admonition. Look at our text again. 3 John, verse 4. Look at it. Look at it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We've had, Carrie and I have had the blessing of having the privilege of being involved in the spiritual development of many, many lives. God has used us over the years, some adults, some children, some young people. But when I was graduating senior at Midwestern Baptist College, a special, special family came into our lives. They had visited the church there where we were members, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan. And a lady named Sandra came to service one day, and her children, Dan and Katie, they were twins. They were not the identical twins. What's the other kind? Fraternal, is that what it's called? Fraternal twins? They didn't look much like each other, amen. They said they were twins, and I believed them, amen. But their family started coming, and their friends started coming. So I got the idea to go over to their house, Brother Kraft, on Tuesday nights, and we would go over and share the Bible with them. Amen. They couldn't come on Wednesday, but they would come on Sundays. And me and one of the deacons down there, Brother Lyons Lawson, is one of the most godly men I've ever met in my entire life. We said, hey, let's go over there on Tuesday night. And I started putting together some beginning believer lessons. And we would go over there and we would spend Tuesday nights. We'd have coffee and cake and get into the Bible. And through it, we were able to lead several of those people to Christ, see some of them baptized, and it was just a wonderful time. Well, I graduated from Midwestern that following May, and my wife and I packed up our Penske truck and moved back to Holyoke, Massachusetts. And many times I thought, Brother Jenkins, I wonder whatever happened to them. I wonder where that ever turned out. I wonder what happened to those people we poured our hearts into and our lives. I wonder if they're going to church anywhere. I wonder if they're serving the Lord. Well, several years ago, I received a letter from a lady named Sandra Lawson. She was Sandra Walters, but now she was Sandra Lawson. She married Brother Lawson's son. And she was the Sandra Walters I knew. She was that lady that I just told you about. And this is what the letter said. And by the way, you don't get a lot of these in the ministry, so this one's in a special place. It said, I just want to let you know. This is a letter she wrote to me. She found out where I lived. And so I just want to let you know that the seeds that you planted are growing. The time you took to come to our house for the Bible lessons, Dan has led 4 of his friends to the Lord. He has talked to others, plus 2 of his friends through Dan are talking to Doug that he has led to the Lord. The twins' friends all love coming to our home. We are trying our best to set a good example and teach and show them how wonderful living for the Lord is. Thank you for all that you did for us. I just want to tell you, I can't tell you how that warmed my heart. I can't tell you how that gave me that boost of adrenaline, Brother Phelps, that first of all, that she was grateful. She had gratitude in her heart that we took the time to come. But not only, and more importantly, that she was still serving the Lord and her family was still serving the Lord. And can I say this to you as my church family? I want you to be happy. I want you to be successful. I want you to be healthy. I want you to, you know, to have family and a godly family. All those things. But you know what I really, really want? I want you to walk in truth. Because if you walk in truth, you will have true happiness. If you walk in truth, you'll know what real Bible success is. If you walk in truth, you will, God will bless you if you walk in truth. Well, I'm not saying there won't be heartaches. I'm not saying there won't be trials. But listen, you'll have something that no one can take away from you if you walk in the truth. Your destination depends on the direction you walk in. If you walk away from truth, you'll end up in the wrong place. But if you walk in the truth, you'll be right where God wants you to be. What does it mean to walk in truth? Well, just a few things, and we'll get into the message proper. What does it mean? It means to be obedient to revealed truth. A friend of mine had a preacher in, and he came in, this evangelist came in. He was a good evangelist, and I asked him, I said, how'd the meeting go? And he said it was a good meeting. He said, the preacher preached simple Bible messages. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And he said a statement that he made, he said, and I found it to be very, very true. He said, I don't preach deep messages. This preacher said this. He said, and the reason is what we need is simple obedience to simple Bible truth. That is what we need. We don't need these deep, deep doctrines of the Bible. We need to obey what we know is right. Simple obedience to revealed truth. Do what you know is right. Amen? Just that simple. What the Bible says is so, whether we think so or not. They say, what is this idea of walking in truth? What is it? Well, it all centers around the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To walk in truth, you need to do several things. I wish this was an original outline. It is my sermon, amen. But the outline is just this simple. Number one, the first thing, if you're going to walk in truth, you're going to need to know it in your head. You're going to need to know it in your head. The reason why some people don't walk in truth is they don't read their Bible. Mama reads the Bible, and Daddy reads the Bible, and maybe a brother reads the Bible, but they don't read their Bible, so you can't walk in truth. Because you don't know what truth is. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, if you're going to walk in truth, you're going to have to read this book. You're going to have to study this book. I appreciate it so much. I was able today to get around and get into all the Sunday school classes. Amen. And I saw this one had candy, and then I saw this one had a treat, and I saw this one, and I ended up just as big as could be by the time I was all done. No, I was able to get in and listen to each one and heard Brother Becker teaching, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And there he was. He was sharing truth. And of course, I heard Brother Horsch sharing truth. And I went into Brother Dave Jenkins' class, and he was sharing truth. And you know what? In all of those classes, there was nobody sitting there like this. Everybody had their Bible open, making notes in their Bible. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Sunday school is the time for knowing it in your head. Amen. To get it in there. And so you're going to have to read it. You're going to have to study. I encourage you to mark your Bible. Have devotions. Take notes during the sermons. Why? Listen, when you know the truth, it frees you from the bondage of sin. Knowing truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what you can do when you come to a questionable situation? If you know the truth, you can walk in truth. But if you come to that questionable situation and you don't know the truth, chances are you're going to go the wrong way. Listen, you can never walk in truth if you won't take the time to learn from and read the truth, and that's the Word of God. And listen, like I said, take the time. I understand, listen, we're busy people. If you have children and a job and all those things, I don't take any of those things for granted. You've got to make time. You've got to make time. If you're going to walk in truth, you've got to make time for the Bible. You've got to. Just mark it down. I've done things before, Brother Becker, where I'd say, you know what, I'm not going to eat till I read my Bible today. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to turn on the television until I spent time in the Word of God. Or you, whatever your routine is, maybe you have breakfast or whatever it is. Listen, make time for the Word of God. It's the key. It's the key. You've got to know it in your head. Something else you've got to do if you're going to walk in truth. You not only have to know it in your head, but you've got to stow it in your heart. You've got to stow it in your heart. Boy, Brother Ken Turner did such a wonderful job in Sunday school when he was with us for the youth rally, talking about hiding God's Word in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You not only have to know it in your head, you have to stow it in your heart. Psalm 19:7 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Down to verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You've heard it, it's cliche, I know it, but meditation is to the soul what digestion is to the body. It gets the nutrients out there to the right places, doesn't it? That's what meditating on the Word of God does. And listen, this is why I make no apology about trying to spend time with God in the morning. Because you've got the whole day to meditate on what you read. Now again, if you have a different routine, please keep it. Amen. That's fine. I know some people that read in the morning and study at night. That's fine. That's fine. Whatever it is, get it in there. Amen. Get it in there. Not only know it in your head, but stow it in your heart. It's not just enough to read the Word of God. You got to think about it through the day. Think about what you've read. Meditate upon it. Philippians 4:8 puts it this way. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate on these things. Can I say that there are two objects that qualify for every bit of that? One is the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is the Word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ between the covers. Amen. Listen, you've got to know it in your head. You've got to stow it in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 teaches us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to guard our minds with the Bible. Guard our minds. We need to guide our minds with the Bible. We need to govern our minds with the Bible. It's not enough just to know it in our head. We've got to stow it. You know what? You're going to need it one day. Praise God, the Holy Spirit calls all things to remembrance. Amen. How many times, Brother Horsch, have you been teaching a lesson and you didn't have it in your outline and the Holy Spirit just gave you a verse to share? Because it went right along with the lesson. Pastor John, amen. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. Why? Because not only do we know it in our head, but we stow it in our heart. We hide God's Word in our hearts. Number three, not only know it in your head, stow it in your heart, praise God, show it in your life. Show it in your life. Psalm 15:2 says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Said it before, we'll say it again. What we really believe is not what we say, it's what we do. Amen? What we really believe, what's really important to us, is shown by our actions. So you know what? Show it in your life. Walking, we're talking about walking in truth. Walking, for those of you who remember English class, walking is an action verb. Action behind it. If you're going to walk in truth, you're going to have to show the Bible at work by the way you live your life. I had a secular job. I had people that couldn't stand me for my witness for the Lord, Brother Hugh. They couldn't stand me. But I tried my best, and I failed just like everybody. I tried my best to walk with the Lord. You know what happened, Brother Newbill, when somebody got sick or somebody had cancer? They didn't go to the bar buddies. They came and said, "Pastor, could I talk to you?" Well, what would have happened if I had an inconsistent walk and a wrong walk and just turned them off like so many have? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to show it in our lives. Show the Word of God. Show that it's important. Hey, listen, you get break time at work, I encourage you, break your Bible open. Amen. You have lunchtime? Hey, listen, I know lunchtime's short. A lot of times we only have 15, 20 minutes. Get your sandwich out, get your bag of chips, and get the Word of God out. Let them see you reading it. You say, "Oh, Pastor, that's the wrong motive. You don't want them to see them." That's not the motive. The motive is to get in there and read it. And sometimes the Bible says for us to let our light so shine that they may your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we need to show that the Word of God is important in our life. Show it. People read your life and they write it in their hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2 says, "We're living epistles known and read of all men." You're a walking Bible. And you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Men who won't study the Bible, M.R. DeHaan said, will read living epistles. And that's you and me. You can show your Bible in your life by your walk of faith, by believing God. We walk by faith and not by sight. By your walk of love. Ephesians 2:5-2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." And we can show it by walking in good works. Ephesians 2:10, the forgotten verse after verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." If you're going to walk in truth, you're going to have to show the Word of God through your life. It can't just be lip service. Amen? It can't just be lip service. It's got to be through a consistent walk. We've got to know it in our head. We've got to stow it in our heart. We've got to show it in our lives. And then number four, we've got to sow it in the world, don't we? We're going to walk in truth. We've got to sow it in the world. I want you to go to Luke chapter 8 with me. Our last scripture tonight. We'll be done with these verses in Luke chapter 8. Look at verse number 5, if you would. I got stirred up about this the other day, about preaching a whole message on this parable. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. It says, "And a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears, let him hear.'" If you keep reading, look at verse number 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. We are commanded, ladies and gentlemen, and privileged to be seed sowers for God. Hey, listen, if you're going to walk in truth, you're going to have to know it in your head. You're going to have to sow it in your heart. You're going to have to show it in your life. Most of all, you're going to have to sow it in the world. Everywhere you go. We used to kid all the time. We'd be on, "Pastor John's getting ready to go down to the wilds." I always said, "Pastor John, when we went and we taught our kids, we taught our teenagers, hey, everybody ought to have gospel tracts. Ought to be ready to pass out a gospel tract." Amen? All the time. And by the way, you got to have them on you to pass them out. If you don't have them with you, don't have them in your purse or in your shirt, that's why we used to call golf shirts devil shirts. You say, "What's a golf shirt, a devil shirt? They got no place for tracks, amen? You need a spot for tracks there." And we always taught our kids that you ought to, when we stop, you ought to pass out some tracts. Amen. Now, we would stop to use the restroom and get gas and all that. And so, invariably, Pastor John, I'd go into the restroom and I'd see about six tracts, amen, all over the place. I'd go to the Burger King and there'd be a track here and a track there. And I'd see somebody reading a track. And I always told them, Brother Jones, I said, if somebody ever kidnaps us and we get lost, just follow the little breadcrumb trail of gospel tracts, amen. You'll be able to find us. Boy, it ought to be that way, ladies and gentlemen. We've got good news. We've got something to share, ladies and gentlemen. Sowing it in the world. Can I ask you this question? When's the last time you knocked on a stranger's door and said, I'd like to give you, pulled out a gospel tract, I'd like to give you some good news? When's the last time you did that? It's been too long, ladies and gentlemen. It's been too long. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Hey, listen, that's our business, to sow it in the world. When's the last time you said to that grocery clerk, hey, can I share some good news with you? We ought to do that, ladies and gentlemen. That, by the way, that's not just a nice thing the pastor says we should do. Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you know this, I've been in Brother Bittinger's Burger King. His employees can't sit there and listen to me give them the gospel for 10 minutes. They're working. Hey, by the way, witness on your own time. Work on the boss's time. Let me say that again. Work on the boss's time. Amen. Now, you ought to live our lives right and all that, but when you're working, you're working. But I couldn't sit there and witness to one of Brother Bittinger's employees, but I could pull a gospel tract out of my pocket and say, would you read this later when you get a chance? Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is precious to me. These right here, I preach with this folder every week. This is the reason I'm saved. The reason I'm saved is because somebody sowed it in the world. Somebody sowed it in the world. We passed out a lot of flyers over the last few weeks. Amen, Pastor John? You know what God wants us to do? How does He want us to walk in truth? He wants us to show it. The idea of stowing it in our hearts, showing it in our lives, knowing it in our heads, most of all, sowing it in the world. When's the last time, ladies and gentlemen? When's the last time you gave a gospel tract to a complete stranger? If it's been more than a week, it's been too long. It's been too long. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back into the business of getting the Word of God out. You know, if you sow enough seed, you're going to harvest a crop. You farmers know that. And you put enough corn seed down there and water that ground and plow it all up and get it all ready, eventually you're going to have a crop. I know this in my life, Brother Boston. When I first got saved, I had a lot of bad reaping to do. But you know what I started doing? I started sowing some good seed. Because I knew the principle and the law of the harvest from the Bible. Eventually, if you sow enough good seed, you'll reap a good crop. So you know what we need to do? We need to stop being distant Christians and start being upfront line Christians. Sowing the seed. So you say, well, Pastor, some of it falls on stony ground. You're right. Pastor, some of it gets eaten up by fowls. You're right. Pastor, some of it gets stuck and choked in the thorns. You're right. And some bears fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Hey, listen, I'm saved because somebody sowed it in the world. So are you. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to walk in truth. Hey, God help us tonight and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and every day to walk in truth. Let's bow our heads.